Why Winnie Davis? What was it, Heath, that really attracted you to the daughter of Jefferson Davis?
Right. Well, Winnie, I've always found very interesting. I am a native of Richmond, Virginia, as is Winnie. Winnie was born in the White House of the Confederacy, which is downtown on Clay Street. She was born, of course, right at the towards the end of the war. And I always kind of felt some sort of kinship with her because I saw her portrait as a teenager, the one that's on the cover of my book. I saw that all over town. They had copies of it, different museums and clubs. And I asked my mother one day who this woman was. She has this very melancholy, sad look. And I knew there must be a story. And there was a huge story, and it would take me like 20 years to really figure out what was going on with it. So it was really her portrait that intrigued me from the beginning.
When did Jefferson Davis die?
So Davis, let's see, I've got to review my date. So
did she know him at all?
Oh, yes. Oh, she knew him. Yes. She was born in 1864. And so her father was right in the middle of the war, fighting the war, you know, towards the end. So she knew Davis as an adult and a child. He did not die till, I believe it was 1889 he died.
Okay, so she was well into adulthood.
She was well into adulthood when he died and was actually on a trip to Europe. So she knew her father well, and she was sort of his constant companion as a young child when he was incarcerated at Fort Monroe in the Norfolk area. So she was the only child that was allowed to visit him. So they had sort of a special bond.
Hmm. And you were saying that, I've read some of the notes, that she was sort of a representation of the Old South, and she never really escaped that fate.
That is right. She was kind of forced to be that, even though she herself was sort of verging on the New South and really became sort of the new woman, meaning someone who broke that mold because she became a writer for Joseph Pulitzer, the newspaper baron at the World Newspaper, lived in New York, was engaged to the grandson of an abolitionist. So she was sort of breaking that mold, but because of her family legacy, was forced to represent the Old South and what later historians would call the Lost Cause. So
how did that go over with Southerners when she was engaged to an abolitionist?
It did not go over well, to put it mildly. People threatened to kill him. There's a great, well, I think is a great quote in my book. It's from a letter from the Robert E. Lee Confederate Veterans Camp saying, "Dear sir, if you should go near our daughter of the Confederacy, we will put a mini ball in your heart. Sincerely, the Robert E. Lee Camp." They're very polite, but we like to kill you in the South when we don't like you sometimes. So,
wow. How did you research? We're talking with author Heath Lee, author of Winnie Davis, Daughter of the Lost Cause, about the daughter of Jefferson Davis. And how did you research your book?
Well, it took a long time. I started years and years ago before the internet, before all these things. So it involved a lot of dusty museum archives, a lot of visits to Mississippi, where the Davises had a home called Beauvoir on the Gulf Coast, also to Colorado, where the family ends up post-war. The living relatives of Jefferson Davis leave because the South is devastated. So it took me sort of to Colorado, all over the South. A lot I did do in Richmond because Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy, and that's my hometown. So that was the easy part in the beginning point. Winnie also lived in Germany. She visited Paris. So it kind of went all over the globe.
And you write that Winnie Davis was sort of intent on helping to unify the North and the South?
Well, I don't think she consciously was doing that, but I think she kind of was a vehicle for other people's aspirations. She was almost like a empty vessel that people could project their wants on. So I don't think she consciously meant to do that, but she was kind of straddling both these worlds, the North and the South, the Old South and the New South. And I think because of her friends and her friendships with Northerners, and then this engagement with this grandson of a famous abolitionist from New York, she naturally kind of brought people together that otherwise wouldn't have been together. So she became a unifying force, and in death really was quite a unifying force for both sides.
Did you get the impression, Heath, that Winnie Davis was beset by the responsibility of being the daughter of Jefferson Davis?
Oh, absolutely. She had a lot of nervous problems. They called it in the 19th century neurasthenia. I've actually been on a panel about neurasthenia. I've always found this fascinating. The 19th century was known as the nervous century because people were working in the industrial world, factories. Some women were starting to work, very few, but some. So all these people working in urban environments coming out of the country, it was seen as kind of unhealthy and bad for you. And the result was these nervous ailments. So Winnie did suffer from these. I think the weight of being the daughter of the Confederacy and carrying the legacy of her parents when she personally wanted to be a writer, that was her overriding desire. And it was not to represent the Confederacy, but she had to. So she kind of had a lot of pressure from both North and South to act in a certain way.
Just for background, what caused her death?
So her death, which we still have not completely figured out, it is something called malarial gastritis, which is a very vague catch-all term in the 19th century. We have sort of the same thing today with, you know, stress-related stuff or things that we can't really figure out. It's a bit of a catch-all term. But what's interesting about her death is she was at a Confederate veterans reunion in Atlanta of 1898. And she was in a carriage with Mrs. Stonewall Jackson, Anna Jackson. They were in a parade. Winnie had not wanted to go to this. Her mother, Verena, made her go to represent her dad. So they're in this open carriage and there's a downpour and Winnie gets soaked to the skin, but she has to sit in this carriage for 2 hours. There's a crush of people. She can't get out. She catches some kind of fever and by the next day is deathly ill and in a few weeks is dead. So we're not really sure if it was that. And there certainly was an underlying organic cause for this, but that didn't help her state of health.
We're talking with Heath Lee, the author of Winnie Davis, Daughter of the Lost Cause. Just a few more questions. What do you want people to take away, Heath, when they read this book?
Well, you know, I think one thing to take away, and I've had a lot of young women and actually boys about, you know, I'd say in the young adult range that have really liked this book. And I think it is really interesting for young people. I hadn't conceived of it. It's an adult book. It's an adult biography. But for young people, it shows you, even in the 19th century, about the pressures of the expectations of other people, living up to what other people want you to be when you yourself might want to take a different route. So I think it's an instructive, you know, sort of way to look at being true to yourself is great, but this woman was not allowed to do that because of her place and time and her legacy. So I think there's a lot there. There's a Romeo and Juliet aspect to the book that I think will appeal to a lot of people. And there's also the reason I wrote the book is I wanted to know what the South looked like in the 19th century. What did this part of the country look like for the losers in history? We know a lot about the winners. We know a lot about New York at that time, other places. We really don't know a lot about it. And a lot of my northern friends and Midwestern friends just had no concept of what it was like. It was rough. It was a very devastated country.
You know, it's interesting being a northerner myself. And, you know, you just don't, the Civil War is just not on people's minds up
right
there, or you were out in Iowa for a while, but
right,
you come south, and especially in Virginia, this is still something that people talk about. It's something that's the
yes
subject of letters of debate in the paper.
Yes.
Why do you think that is, in a nutshell?
Yes, it's a great question. It's very topical, and it's been, even when I first started researching the book, it was still, so 20 years ago when I started, it was so raw that certain people didn't want to let me see certain archives. This is very present for us. And I think it's also because you can still see in some places the earthenworks, the battle scars. You're still finding like different military equipment, the pieces of shrapnel. I mean, this is really scarred our part of the country. And then, of course, we have so many racial tensions still because of that. It's very topical today.
Well, even right next door in Botetourt County, the slave
yes
quarters, I mean, that's just another, you know,
yes,
that they're moving.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you real quick before I let you go, the portrait of Winnie Davis on the cover of the book, sort of you would talk about the symbolism, what she's holding and all that. Just describe that briefly if you can.
Absolutely. If you definitely look at the cover of the book, because she looks like a bride, and she is indeed a bride of the Confederacy, not necessarily a willing one, but she is wedded to the Confederacy. There are medals pinned to her bodice, and those medals are medals from the Confederate Veterans Group and the United Daughters of the Confederacy. And Winnie is the inspiration for the United Daughters of the Confederacy. She's their figurehead. There are also forget-me-nots on the cover. Victorians have this whole flower symbolism thing going on. They mean don't forget the Confederacy. And underneath that, there's a broken staff symbolizing the Confederacy that is broken but not completely torn apart. So there is so much in portraits. I have a great interest in art history and had some background in that, so it was really helpful at interpreting that portrait.
And the look on her face is sort of wan, really just forlorn, not happy.
She is not happy, and really her whole life, it's an epic story. It's very romantic, very glamorous, but it's ultimately very tragic. So she did not have a happy life, but it's certainly a fascinating one.
And a foreword by Jeb Stuart IV.
Yes.
So the great-great-great, whatever grandson of a Confederate hero.
The great-great-grandson who is a family friend, and I had known him for years and not even thought about it till the book came up. And I thought, you're the perfect person to write this.
Mm. All right, before I let you go, Heath Lee's the author. I want to ask you about a book that you're working on about the wives of Vietnam POWs.
Yes.
Going back to the Vietnam era and their story and about what fortitude and just courage, and talk about that.
Certainly. Oh, I'm so excited about this new book. I had spent so long in the Civil War, I felt like I needed some contemporary history. So the focus of my work is really women in war. How do they cope with war? Starting with Winnie in the Civil War, I have this book about Vietnam, and I'm planning a third about women in another war. So what this particular book, The Reluctant Sorority, is focuses on four women who are leaders in the National League for POW MIA in Southeast Asia. POW means prisoner of war, MIA, missing in action. So these women were told by Lyndon B. Johnson, the policy was keep quiet, sit down, shut up, don't say anything about your husband's whereabouts. These women had husbands who were all Navy pilots or Air Force pilots, and they had been shot down in Vietnam. Most were locked up at what we know is now as the Hanoi Hilton. That's what it's popularly called.
John McCain was there, right?
And I'll be interviewing Senator McCain in March. I've interviewed Henry Kissinger and Senator Bob Dole. They were all very active in this movement. But the women are my focus, the strength that they showed. And they started a humanitarian lobby for these men, but it changed into a political lobby. They were able to put political pressure on the Nixon administration to get these guys back, to force them to include that in the peace settlement, that the prisoners would be brought back. In other words, that wasn't always the case. These men could have been left there forever, and these women prevented that from happening, and nobody knows about them. They will, though, soon.
When do you expect to get that book out?
Yes, that book should be published in 2017. We're on track for that date, hopefully. Got a lot of interest from different publishers, from NPR, PBS, et cetera. So it should be out, if I can keep to my timeline, late 2017.
All right. Author Heath Lee is the author of Winnie Davis, Daughter of the Lost Cause, and she's also working on a book about the wives of Vietnam POWs. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.